If you'd like to turn in your scripture to John chapter 14 this morning, I'm going to read two verses right now. We'll look at the balance of the verses as we proceed in the message this morning. Well, this is probably one of the most important messages for a Christian's life, because simply put, we cannot make it without the involvement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Just not going to make it. Just not going to do it. So verse 15, Jesus said, by the way, before I read this, I know you know this. Many of you have red lettered editions, but most of what we've been sharing on Sunday morning are Christ words. These are Jesus' words. And don't you want them to be made real afresh to us this morning? Here's what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. I told you as we sang those two seemingly disparate songs to try to figure out why we sang them. But how many notice the first verse says, if you love me, and then verse 16 says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. I want you to see the title before you're seated, just so there's not a distraction. I want to preach this morning on the Holy Helper. But I wanted to give this very important qualification. Language is a funny thing. And we got to be careful, because when we hear the word helper, many times our mind immediately goes to a lower tiered worker, the unskilled person who assists the skilled person. I'm not using, because I'm referring to the Holy Spirit, I'm not using helper in that sense. I'm using helper simply in the sense of someone who helps when you're in a dire predicament. Someone who helps. It might be a doctor. It might be a lawyer. It might be roadside assistance. It might be a friend. But it's somebody when you are in a desperate need, they helped you out of that trouble. That's the way I use the word helper. So this morning, with the Lord's help, with the Holy Helper, we're going to preach about the Holy Helper. How about that? You can be seated this morning. When we were getting ready to go to Camp Dove, my grandchildren had been with me, and my three-year-old, his mother told him to go get his shoes on. It was about time to go. And I saw him in there. He was trying to get his shoes on, but they were knotted. And to his credit, he was really trying. And so I came up behind him and I said, Troy, let me help you. And he says, no, I'll do it. Well, he kept trying to finger those knots and get them untied. And finally, without another word, I just knelt down beside him and I got my fingers in there and untied. He was never going to get those knots untied. Those laces would have still been tied. But he was trying. But I knelt beside him and untangled what he couldn't. I want to tell you this morning, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Some of us, even this morning, we're wrestling with the knots of life. There's some tangles we can't untangle. There's some things we can't figure out. There's some things we can't handle. But I want to tell you something. As a child of God, if you're trying, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Helper, will come and kneel down alongside of you. He'll get involved. He'll do the untangling. He'll do the helping. He'll enable. He'll empower. I'm so glad there is the Holy Helper. We got to put these scriptures in context this morning. Jesus had been these disciples everything. He gave them hope. He gave them purpose. They went out and began to minister. And when they couldn't feed the crowd, Jesus fed the crowd. When they couldn't cast out the demons, Jesus cast out the demons. When they couldn't heal the sick, Jesus healed the sick. When they didn't have the word to say, Jesus had the word to say. But now Jesus has given the disciples the news that he's leaving. And that news has struck them with an impact. They are now faced with the coming reality that they were now going to have to do life without Jesus. Amen. Because he's going away. How are they going to now face life? How will they make it to heaven? Amen. Their biggest concern was how would they go on without Jesus with them? And so at that moment, what's going to settle the hearts of the disciples? How many remembers how this chapter begins? Let not your heart be troubled. What's going to settle their hearts? Jesus is going to be God. What's going to calm them? I'll tell you what the answer was, the answer that Jesus gave, the thing that would settle their hearts and calm their hearts at the fact that Jesus was leaving. The answer was the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Helper. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus calmed their hearts with this promise of the Helper who was going to come to take His place. But can I tell you this morning, the Helper wasn't just for the original disciples. The Helper is for us right here, right now, this morning. How many would lift a hand and say, we need the Helper. I need the Helper. Could I just put it succinctly this morning? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Helper, is for when Jesus isn't around. Hallelujah. I said the Holy Helper is when Jesus isn't around. I'm leaving, but I'm going to send you a Holy Helper. I want us to look at this morning at these verses. First of all, I want to answer the question, who is this Helper? Verse 16, as we read as our text, Jesus said, I'll pray the Father, and He'll give you another Comforter. Who is this Comforter? This Helper is the Holy Spirit. You knew that, but I want to show you from Jesus' words. This Helper is the Holy Spirit. Look at the verse here, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. The Comforter is the Holy Ghost. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now you may be thinking, you say, now wait a minute, preacher. It says Comforter, not Helper. And you're saying Helper, and the Bible says Comforter. But let me just tell you this. All through the ages, amen, the Christians have sought for the best way to translate this word Paraclete that Jesus used. You know He didn't speak English. Jesus neither said Helper or Comforter. Jesus said Paraclete. And Christians have struggled. How can we best translate that? I showed you one problem. Use the word Helper and people think of a low-skilled worker. That's not what Jesus had in mind. Amen. But I, you know, there's different things that are contained in that word Comforter. One is a legal advisor. They use that word. Somebody, when you had to go to court, when you had problems with the law, amen, then you had this Comforter, this advocate, this Paraclete to stand up for you. Another way the word Paraclete was used at the time was as an intercessor, someone who petitioned the king for you, someone who prayed for you, someone that tried, amen, to stand between you and the authorities, amen. But of course, another idea that's inherent within the word is simply the word somebody that helps. Somebody that helps. Amen. This Helper is the Holy Spirit. The King James rightly uses the word Comforter. So why not just leave it there? Well, for this reason, amen, we have changed in our idea of a Comforter. I would venture to say, if I had done a little test and ask you as a congregation this morning, what's the first thing that comes into your mind when I say the word Comforter? I'm talking about before I started preaching. What comes to your mind? And most of you would have thought about those little throws, those padded blankets, comforters. Maybe not you men, but most people would think of that. Amen. That's how our minds have changed. So what are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm saying when it says here that the Holy Spirit is a Comforter, it's not talking about comfort in the sense of patting somebody on the back and saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. No, when it uses the word Comforter, it's talking about somebody that alleviates the suffering by doing something. Someone who comes to your assistance and comes to your aid in a way that it lifts the burden. It takes the grief right off of you. Hallelujah. Thank God He's able to pat us on His back, on our backs. Thank God He's able to say, it's okay. But that's not what the word Comforter means. It means the one who literally helps you at that point, in that place. Amen. He is the Comforter. Amen. But it's more than that, because the word word paraclete on its very own. Amen. You just take it. I'm not trying to bore you here, but para means alongside, and cleat means to be called. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who's called alongside us. Oh, I get a picture here, called alongside us. I picture somebody who's grown feeble, or somebody that's injured, and they're trying to mount these steps. Amen. Amen. And you're going to be the comforter for a moment, Brother Mark. Amen. Get ready. Amen. They're trying to mount. They're having trouble, but quickly, amen, the comforter comes and takes their arm, and he walks up, helps them on up. Thank you, brother. I think of the time, amen, I ran out of gas trying to push a car to the gas station, out of breath, out of energy, and suddenly somebody stepped up beside me, put their hands on the trunk, and they begin to push. Amen, called alongside. I think of standing before a judge, amen, not having the words to say, the know-how to say it, in trouble with the law. But suddenly I look to my elbow, and there's a lawyer, esteemed lawyer, standing beside me to plead my case. The one called alongside. You can look at it either way you want to. One way to look at it is that the person in trouble begins to call, and he comes. But in the context, called alongside, because Jesus sees us in the struggle, and he calls the Holy Spirit to come alongside. Oh, aren't you glad for the paraclete? Amen. Aren't you glad for the comforter, the helper? How many be real honest right in the middle of a message and say, I'm involved in something. I need the Holy Spirit to come alongside me. Can I see your head? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Next, the helper is a person and not just a force or a power. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you. Now listen, I know what we Pentecostals are saying, and you particularly hear this around youth camps. Do you have the Holy Spirit? No. Well, you need it. And I know what that is. That's a reference to the experience. Because I want you to know the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is not an it. He's a he. You see, we got to be careful here, because some people think of the Holy Spirit as just a power, a force, or an influence. No. The Holy Spirit is that third member of the triune God. God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you something very interesting. Please, this is not to bore you. To me, this is so exciting. I know, because I read it, that the word ghost, their spirit, is without gender. It's neuter. And it is, because the Holy Spirit's name comes from a picture. The word spirit literally means breath. Oh, we don't have time to preach that. From the very beginning, God formed man out of the clay and breathed in him the breath of life. So the word for spirit, pneuma, is literally breath or wind. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. So breath and wind are neuter. But when Jesus used the word spirit, he violated the laws of grammar. I want to tell you something. I heard Paul Harvey say, how many even remembers Paul Harvey? You want to know why the world is in such a mess? It's because it's growing up without Paul Harvey. But I remember him saying years ago, you can violate the laws of grammar if you know what they are. That's like sometimes I say, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That be us. Oh my God, I got one better than that. Jesus not only knows the laws of grammar, he created them. Amen. He violates, Trisha, he violates the laws of grammar. The law of grammar says the pronoun has to be the same gender as the noun it refers to. Jesus broke the laws of grammar. Spirit is neuter, but he said when the Holy Spirit is come, that's masculine. That's personal.
I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's, you may feel his power. He gives power, but he's not just a power. He is a person. Why is that so important? Because now we're talking about relationship. We're not talking about abracadabra. We're not talking about witchcraft. We're not talking about doing some funny little thing. We're talking about the power comes from relationship. He, besides that, what does he do? He teaches. Let me tell you something. Amen. Power doesn't teach. Influence doesn't teach in itself. It takes a person to teach. Hallelujah. How many would agree with me? The Holy Spirit is a person. A person. You have relationship with the person. And then this helper, this is where it gets exciting. This helper is just like Jesus. Look at verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. There's different words used for another. The word that Jesus uses here for another means another of the same kind. When Jesus said, I'll give you another comforter, he said, I'm giving you someone just like me. Now, make no mistake, Jesus is a comforter. It's also translated advocate. How many knows that we have one mediator that's between us and the Father, Jesus Christ? Oh, I'm so excited what John said. He said he's a propitiation, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. And if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus. Jesus Christ. Jesus is our advocate, but he went away to be our advocate, it be in the presence of the Father. But when he went away, he didn't leave us without an advocate. He didn't leave us without a helper. He sent us a helper and advocate just like he was. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we got to move on, but this stuff is so important. You see, in context, Jesus is going away. Jesus, as their comforter, is going to be taken from them. They'll be left without him. But Jesus says, when I go, I'll send you the Holy Helper. And listen, this is what it is. This is who he is. He said, I'll send you the Holy Helper, and he will be everything to you that I have been. That's literally what Jesus was saying. You're upset because I'm going away. That's what he was saying, Brother Bill. But don't be upset because I'm sending you someone just like me. It's the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he's going to be everything to you that I, Jesus, have been. It gets more exciting than that, because it wasn't just the original disciples that the promise was to. It's to us. And so what Jesus is saying, through the Holy Spirit, I will send him, and the Holy Spirit will be the same to you, as I would be if I walked in your midst. The Holy Spirit would be what I would be to you if I knelt down and spoke in your ear this morning. Oh, hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is everything that Jesus was to the disciples. One more thing, we'll move on in this verse. If we go back to verse 26. I'm sorry, verse 16, that he may abide with you forever. Again, let's put this in context. Jesus said, you're disturbed because I came into your life and I'm now leaving. There's one thing the Holy Spirit's going to do that Jesus didn't do. And I'm talking about, this isn't a failure of Jesus, it's the purpose of God. There's one thing the Holy Spirit does that Jesus doesn't do. Jesus came to the disciples and left the disciples. But Jesus said, when the other advocate comes, he's not leaving. He's with you for the duration. How many's glad to know the Holy Helper is here for the duration? In fact, let me tell you, when the Holy Helper leaves, we won't be left without him, because we're going with him. I don't think you heard what I said. I said, when the Holy Helper leaves, we're not going to be left without him, because we're going with him. How many believes that this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad we have him? Let's move on. Why does Jesus send this helper? So we will not be like orphans. Look at verse 18. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. You'll have to take my word for it, but when I say the Greek, you'll hear it in English. The word is orphan. He said, I will not leave you like an orphan. Well, what's the essence of being an orphan? An orphan is someone without a parent to teach, to guide, to provide, to protect. Jesus knew his disciples would face persecution, confusion, attack, trial, temptation after he left. And now they would be facing it without Jesus to teach them, Jesus to guide them, Jesus to provide, Jesus to protect. So in a sense, when Jesus leaves, the disciples are going to be like orphans. But he said here, here's his promise, I will not leave you like an orphan. I will come to you. How does he come to them? Well, let's look at this. First of all, Jesus left to die on the cross. At that point, the disciples scattered. How many remembers that? I'll strike the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. Didn't that happen? Because they're orphans. They're orphans. They scatter. They run. They hide. But Jesus did not leave them like that. He would not leave them on their own. And neither will Jesus leave us on their own. I know there was three portions of a day or a portion of 3 days that they were left alone. But they didn't stay alone. Amen. We know that is true for us. Jesus will not leave us alone like them. He won't leave us alone to face Satan on our own. He won't leave us alone to walk through the trial. He won't leave us alone with the temptation. He won't leave us alone to find our own way. He won't leave us alone to struggle with our fears and doubts and difficulty. He said, I will come to you. Well, how did he come to them? Well, first of all, literally, after those portions of 3 days, he came to them. They thought, the people thought, the disciples thought that was the end of Jesus. He went away. He's killed on a cross. He's in a tomb. That's the end of Jesus. But he said, I will come to you. And after 3 days, he came to them. He was in their midst, though they were behind locked doors. But Jesus means more than just coming to them after the resurrection. What he was revealing was this tremendous truth. When the Holy Spirit comes, that's Jesus coming back to us in power, in word, in truth, in guidance, in help, in strength. Oh, hallelujah. And so we're right back to the idea. We're not orphans because Jesus went away, because the Spirit has come to be Jesus to us. Amen. Jesus has come. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to say it one more time before we move on. Everything Jesus was to the disciples, the Holy Spirit will be to us. How many's ever thought, if not ask it, how is this fair? The disciples had Jesus right there with them, and we don't. The disciples could see Jesus, and we can't. The disciples could hear Jesus, and we can't. They've got the advantage on us. No, because he sent the Holy Spirit to be Jesus to us. I mean, why does Jesus send this helper? So we could know and have a relationship with God. Look at verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. We could spend a series on this and never get to the bottom of this. But very simply put, the Holy Spirit says you are not alone, and you can know you're not alone because you're in unity of a relationship. Just like there's a relationship between Jesus and the Father, there is a relationship, Jesus says, between you and me. Just like I, Jesus, was never alone because the Father was always with me, you are never alone because you are in relationship with me like I was in relationship with the Father. What a unity. What a relationship. What a bond, tightly woven together. After the resurrection and the coming of the Spirit, the disciples would realize just how much apart they were of Christ and Christ was of them. You can't get any closer than someone dwelling in your heart. Could I tell you that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, dwells in our heart? There's no greater relationship or closeness than that. And it's the Holy Spirit that lets us know that. Amen. We're going to finish with this important point. Who can have this helper? Who can have this helper? Well, I got one more. I didn't want to mislead you. Who can have this helper? Look at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Who can have this helper? Those who are in a loving relationship with Jesus. Jesus has spoken of God's love for the world. Jesus spoken of his love for the disciples. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So Jesus has made clear the Father loves them and he loves them. But at this point, Jesus turns it around and says, the question is, if we go back to the verse, do you love me? Do you love me? Listen very carefully. We're living in a time when people are inundated of hearing only about God's love for them. Is it true? Yes. Is it important? Yes. But not on its own. Over and over and over, they're told. And never is the question got to, but do you love God? I'm talking about the times we live in. Thank God he loves us, right? Undeniable, unquestionable. But I want to tell you, the real question as far as relationship isn't that whether God loves us or not. It's whether do we love God. And you know, you say, well, how do you figure that out? How do I know whether I love God or not? Jesus gave a very simple reality test. If you want to know whether you love God or not, it's very simple. Do you keep his commandments? You know, I found a long time ago doing door-to-door track personal evangelism. Everybody loves Jesus. I've had him with a drinking a can of beer. Say, oh, I love Jesus. Never darken the church house door. I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. I know I don't go to church, but I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Everybody loves Jesus. But Jesus said, there's a simple test. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen. You may wonder, what does this have to do with the Holy Spirit? We're talking about who can have this helper. You know, it's not that if I don't love him, amen, that I can't have the Holy Spirit. If I don't keep his commandments, I can't have the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work that. It works this way. If I don't keep his commandments, I don't love him. And if I don't love him, I'm not in the place in the relationship where he can give me the Holy Spirit. I'm not there. Until I love him enough to keep his commandments, I'm not in a position to be receptive to the Holy Spirit that he wants to give. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. It isn't that Jesus says, now wait a minute, I'm not going to love you so you keep my commandments and show that you love me. It's not that a matter of all at all. Amen. It's simply this. Until we love him, he cannot show us his love. Amen. Have you ever tried to love somebody, amen, but they wouldn't let you? How many's ever been there? Maybe it's even a kid. You want to, oh, I love you. You tried to hug him and they wouldn't. Now, maybe not with the kid, but some folks won't show you, let you show them love because they don't love you. And what Jesus is simply saying, not that I'm going to hold back my love until you prove you love me. He's saying, I cannot show you my love until you love me because you won't let me. If you don't love me, you resist me. And it's all tied up in this. Even if you keep my commandments, you love me. And you, if you love me, I'm able to love you back. And my Father's able to love. And to show the greatest point of our love is we will manifest Jesus to you. How? Through the coming of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Keep his commandments. Love him. He'll be able to love you by sending the Holy Helper. And when you have the Holy Helper, Jesus will be near. Jesus will be real. Jesus will be known in your life, in my life. So how can we have this helper? Amen. By having a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There are things you'll never know about a person until you're in a close relationship with them. If you're married, you know this. There's things my wife and I know about each other that nobody else knows. It's because we're in a loving relationship. And there's things you'll never and I'll never know about Jesus until we enter into that relationship. And it's the Spirit that makes him known. Let's move quickly. Who can have this helper? Those who are not of this world. Did you know the more worldly a person becomes, the less the Spirit means to them? Look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, that's whom he's sending, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He's saying, look, if you're a part of this world, if you're worldly minded and worldly hearted, you cannot have the spirit of truth. Why? Because truth is not something the world wants. Truth is not something that the world accepts. And so if I have a worldly mind, if I'm of the world, I cannot have the spirit, because he is the spirit of truth. Amen. But I want to tell you, there's a deeper reason. If we could get this, we've got everything. Read your Bibles. The spirit does not come upon the world. The spirit only comes upon Jesus Christ. Out of all the other lessons to be learned, when Jesus steps into that Jordan River, Brother Scott, and asked John to baptize him, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus and remained upon him, out of all the other lessons, Brother Aaron, the message was, the Spirit only comes upon Christ. The world cannot receive the Spirit. But if you have Christ in your heart, if you've come to Christ, the Holy Spirit, he will come upon the Christ of your life and my life. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. There's been times a plane or helicopters been trying to rescue someone, but they had no place to land. If I am worldly minded, worldly hearted, unregenerated, the Holy Spirit has no place to land. He wants to help me. I need the help, but he has no place to land. Oh, but if I have Christ in my life, the Holy Spirit has a place to land. Verse 19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Those last days before the cross, I've already told you again and again, Jesus spent the last days with the disciples in private. And even after the resurrection, it was basically only the disciples that saw him. Why? The world rejected him. They refused to believe. They pushed him away. Therefore, the world would not see him. Amen. They cannot see him. But also another thing, if you have a heart of unbelief, you can't see Jesus. You'll never see Jesus. Amen. Sometimes you ask of people, can't they see what they're doing to their life? Can't they see what's happening because they reject Christ? And the answer is no. They can't see it. Verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, not the betrayer, another Jude. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Amen. You see, you got to get this. I don't know if you've ever wondered about this. It looks like that Judas is asking some deep theological question, but he's not. Judas is asking this because he, like the other disciples, are confused. Everything they've been taught, everything they expected was this, that when the Messiah came, he would ride into Jerusalem, overthrow the power of Rome, cast the hypocrites out of the temple, be seated on a throne, and rule and reign in power. If the Messiah comes like that, everybody was going to see him. Even Rome's going to see him. The Jewish hypocrite leaders are going to see him. And now Jesus says, the only ones that's going to see me are you, who believe in me. And Judas is saying, how can this be? If you're truly the Messiah that's coming to set up your kingdom, amen, why isn't the world able to see you? He's genuinely confused. He does not get it yet. Oh, this is so important. He does not get it yet. He will in just a moment. I want to tell you, and I don't have time to preach it, the way Judas and the disciples expected him, he will appear the second time that way. Amen. The Revelator says, when he comes the second time, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him and refused him. There's coming a day they will see him. Very important questions. Amen. Amen. can receive the helper, those who are keeping Jesus' words. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him through the Holy Spirit. We'll make our abode with him through the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to belabor that point, but that's keeping his words puts you in a position where he can give you the Holy Spirit. Verse 24, he that loveth me keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's would send me. If I don't love God, I won't keep Jesus' word. Amen. But we got to understand that word that came through Jesus' mouth came from the Father. It's all about God. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. I've told you these things. I'm going away. When that happens, it'll do two things. Number one, it'll show you that I'm God, because everything I tell you is going to happen, it happens. And happens just like that. But not only that, when I go away, you're going to know it, because I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. I got to reach right into Acts to let you know, how did they know that Jesus made it to the Father? Because he said, when I get there, I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit. They knew he had made it because he poured out the Holy Ghost. How do we know he's at the right hand of the Father right now making intercession? Because the Holy Spirit's here. If he's there, the Holy Spirit's here. Hallelujah. I said, if he's there, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to wear you out. Give me just a few more moments. Brother Brian's preaching tonight. He'll make it up to you. He's very good at that. What I mean by that, you tell me what I mean. He runs it for me when I'm gone. Thank you. One more question. What does the Holy Helper do? Basically, I'll just read the scriptures. The Holy Helper dwells in us, possessing us, enabling us, empowering us. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. Listen to this. For he dwelleth with you. How did he dwell with the disciples? Because he was on Jesus. But when he leaves, he's going to dwell in them, because the Spirit that dwelt on Jesus, he's sending back. He gave them a precursor to that on resurrection night, because he breathed upon them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Amen. What does a helper do? He teaches and reminds us. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. This Spirit, this Helper, is first of all not about feelings. We go back to where it says teach, brother. I just got to make this clear. I know the Holy Spirit gives us wonderful feelings. And I've already preached a message, but we make a mistake of equating the emotion with the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit is not about emotion. The Holy Spirit's about truth. He's the Spirit of truth, and he teaches us truth. Amen? Amen. How many knows we need the Holy Spirit to teach us? How many's ever heard this in Pentecostal church or said it? Well, he teaches some, but he's not much of a preacher. I like a preacher. I don't. How many's ever heard that? Like teaching is lower than preaching. Come on. I don't think so. Because it never said the Holy Spirit was a preacher. It says he's a teacher. That's pretty high. That's pretty high. Hey, man, he teaches us. Not only does he teach us, he reminds us over and over as Jesus spoke. The scripture says, particularly in John, that the disciples did not understand what was Jesus was saying, what Jesus was doing. But then it says, after Jesus was glorified, then they understood. Why did they not understand when Jesus was with them? Because Jesus said, it's the Holy Spirit that'll make it real to you. Look at verse 16 of chapter 12. These things understood not his disciples at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they these things which were written of him. They had done these. Even when Jesus was with them, they didn't get it. But when the Holy Spirit came, he took the things that Christ had said and done and they got it. Now, could I tell you, none of us get it about Jesus until the Holy Spirit comes to us. Even as a sinner. Can you wave at me if you're hearing me this morning? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Even as a sinner, you'll never get this thing about Jesus until the Holy Spirit comes. Amen. Music, would you come? Let me tell you something else the Holy Spirit does. He brings peace to us. Jesus' peace. If we wasn't tired already, we could shout right here. Look what it says in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. How's he leave it? Brother John, can I have 3 more minutes? Can I have 3 more minutes? Thank you. Brother John gave me 3 more minutes. I got to tell you some things. The word leave right here, it doesn't just mean to go bye-bye. It's the word leave, like somebody leaves something in their will. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I've willed you something. Amen. I put something in my will for you. Not peace, but what? My peace. Amen. How does that peace come to us? Through the Holy Spirit. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, it's my peace. What kind of peace did Jesus have? He slept in the boat when the waves were high. And what kind of peace did Jesus have? They were in his face screaming at him, trying to stone him. And he never lost his cool. He never lost. What kind of peace did Jesus have? He faced the cross, the cruelest of all. And he faced it with a peace of mind. And to think, listen please church, let's gather our mind. And to think, he said, when I go, I will give you my peace through the Holy Spirit. Would you stand across the building? I'll just quit this morning, but I want you to know he'll give us every reason to rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what the coming helper will do. I could close in a lot of ways. And I wish I'd arranged this, but I just decided to do it. But I started thinking up here before I came to the pulpit of a story I heard about the little boy at a recital playing a very simple piece. But as he began to play, he began to mess up and he's embarrassed. His parents are embarrassed and he keeps stumbling. But there was a concert pianist in the building, a master. And he rose from his chair and he came up behind the little boy that's stumbling through his piece. And he whispered in his ear, just keep playing, just keep playing. And the master put a hand on either side of the little boy and joined in to that little boy's peace, who picked up confidence and assurance, and oh, they made some music. You ever feel like you're stumbling through your peace? How many ever feels like you're just stumbling through your peace? I think if you'd listen to helpers who comes alongside, he's saying, just keep playing. And then he puts an arm on either side of you and he joins in. Glory to God. How many believes we can make some music with his help? Glory to God. Whether you're a believer or unbeliever this morning, I give this altar call. If you can honestly say, I need the helper, I'd like you to begin to fill this altar and come on the promise of Jesus that he would send him to us. Would you begin to come? Would you begin to come? Hallelujah. Sister Carol's lost her sister this week. Amen. Others of you are facing tremendous things. Sister Carol Cruz. Amen. Amen. Facing serious things. Amen. Just come to say, I need the helper. Fill these altars. Thank God that he has sent him. Thank God that he has sent him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God that he sent him. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I need the Holy Helper. I need his strength. I need his help. I need his wisdom. I need his guidance. Let him wrap his arms around you this morning. Hallelujah. Let him come upon the Jesus in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Helper, come. Holy Helper, come. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Invite him into your life.
Healer of my heart.
Help me in my life.
When my world is torn apart.
Help me with my living, my ministry, my singing.
You're
help
the
me.
Mender of my
help
soul.
Me with my witnessing.
Only you can make me whole.
Guide me, lead me.
You're
teach
my
me.
Peace
you're
in
my
troubled
peace.
Times.
Oh, you're my peace.
When I'm broken,
hallelujah.
Lord, I find all I need is who you are. You're the healer of my heart.
Oh, we need you, God. We're unashamed.
My comforter, my constant friend, my source of help. You know me better than I even know myself. You know that I am merely clay, a vessel that so often breaks. But when I do, then Lord, you take the pieces of me and make them complete.
Help. Help me, Lord. Send the helper.
You're the healer of my heart. When my world is torn apart, you're the mender of my soul. Only can make me whole. You're my peace in troubled times. When I'm broken, Lord, I find all I need is who you are. You're the healer of my I run for shelter in the shadow of your wings. When to the cross.